You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to homicide detail. A confessed murderess is paroled from the state prison for women. After 7 months, the parole office loses contact with her. Your job, find her.
If you want a long cigarette, smoke the best of all long cigarettes. Smoke king-size Fatima. Fatima is the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos, superbly blended to make Fatima extra mild. And that's why Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette. That's why Fatima has more than doubled its smokers coast to coast. So enjoy Fatima, the best of all long cigarettes.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Thursday, March 9th. It was foggy in Los Angeles. We were working a day watch out of homicide detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Thad Brown, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. We were on our way back from the state building, and it was 2:45 p.m. when we got to the city hall, room 29. Handwriting analysis. Want to have a seat, Fred?
Okay, thanks. I'll see if Don's around. Maybe in the back room.
All right.
Don Meyer. Don, you here?
Yeah, come in just a minute. Oh, hi, Ben.
Got a quick job for you, Don. Can you spare a few minutes?
Think so. Hi, Joe. Didn't see you.
I'd like to have you meet Fred Galloway, state parole. Fred, this is Don Myers, our handwriting man.
How are you?
Got a couple of signatures here. I'd like to have you check them now if you can.
No, I can try. Let's see what you got.
You want to show them, Fred?
Yeah. These three sheets here, Don, mark November, December, January. I'd like to know if the signatures on them compare with the signatures on these two here. They're marked February and March.
Let me see. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it shouldn't take long. Why don't you fellas have a seat?
Yeah, okay.
How's this thing shape up, Fred? You figure that the Johnson woman's jumped her parole?
Got me. I don't know what to think.
How long's it been since you got out of prison?
Well, let me check you out on the details. I got the dope right here.
All right, fine.
Annie Marie Johnson. She was sent up for a life term, 1933. Murdered her husband, John. Shot him to death. Started appealing for parole 1940, finally won it May 14th last year. Paroled into the custody of Mrs. Laura Jean Muller.
Mm-hmm. Where does this Mrs. Muller live?
Down Wilmington. Old friend of the Johnson woman. She fought for 10 years to get her released from Tehachapi.
Have you been in touch with Mrs. Muller lately, Fred?
Only by mail. We've been sending her monthly report forms all along. She's the person that Annie Johnson was paroled to, so the form has to be filled out and signed by Mrs. Muller and mailed back to me.
Yeah, I know. And that's where you figured that something was wrong.
Well, we got the February and March reports back from her on time. All the usual questions answered properly. And it was the signature. Writing didn't look like Mrs. Muller's at all.
You think the Johnson woman is faking the signature?
Maybe. Tried to contact the Muller house half a dozen times the past couple of days. Nobody home.
There you go, man.
You got it?
Yeah. Let me see. These three here, November, December, January, they were signed by the same person.
Yeah.
Signatures on the February and March reports, they're pretty bad imitations. One person signed these two. Another person signed these. No match at all.
Well, then the signatures on the last two reports were forged.
I'd say so.
She went up for murder. That's your department. You want to run it down?
Sure.
What's it add up to?
Could be a lot of things. Could be nothing.
Annie Johnson ought to know. Ben and I checked out of the office and drove down to Wilmington. We located the home of Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Muller on Seaboard Drive, just off Anaheim Street. It was an old-fashioned two-story house set back on a big corner lot along with plenty of shrubbery. It was a faded gray with lots of Victorian gingerbread hung all over it. Fancy carved gables, carriage driveway with hitching posts, and pieces of thick colored glass set in some kind of a design in the window of the front door. Out in the harbor beyond Terminal Islands, you could hear the foghorns.
They sure get the fog out here, don't they?
It's pretty thick today. My aunt used to live just above here, Grant Avenue.
Oh, uh-huh.
Couldn't take the fog, so she moved out the valley.
Garden could stand some taking care of.
Yeah, weeds are doing fine. Want to try it again?
What do you think?
Let's try the neighbors, huh?
Yeah, all right. That house across the street must be somebody there. I saw a woman shaking a dust mop out the window when we drove up.
All right. Kind of a bleak-looking spot up here on the hill, isn't it? Not many houses around.
Yeah, and this fog's doing nothing for me. Chills you right down to the bone.
What's the name on the mailbox there?
Let's see. Miss Flora Carpenter.
Well, maybe she can tell us something.
Are you the sewing machine man?
No, ma'am. We're police officers. Like to ask you a few questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you came about my singer.
No, ma'am.
I can't do any more work on my peasant skirt until the machine's fixed. And it has to be done by Saturday. Our folk dancing group's having a big jamboree Saturday night. Will you step inside?
Thank you. This is Sergeant Romero. My name's Friday.
Oh, how do you do? Oh, fog's so refreshing, isn't it? Very vitalizing.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you acquainted with Mr. and Mrs. Muller across the street, Miss Gardner?
The Muellers? Yes, I've known them for years.
And they have an Annie Johnson living with them?
Yes, one of my very good friends.
She's employed as a housemaid for the Muellers, is that right?
Well, I guess you could call it that. Actually, she's more of a companion to Mrs. Muller since poor Mr. Muller got sick.
What's his trouble?
His mind. Poor man just lost his senses. He's at the state hospital at Norwalk.
Mm-hmm. When did they send him there?
Let me see. This is March. It must have been last November. Yes, became violent.
Do you know where Mrs. Muller is now?
In the sanitarium out near Pasadena. Not well at all.
And Annie Johnson, is she still living at Muller's house across the street?
Oh, yes. She went downtown to do some shopping today.
Did she say when she'd be back?
Well, no, she didn't, but we have a meeting of our book appreciation club at 8:30 tonight here at my house, and I certainly don't think she'd miss the meeting.
I see.
Miss Carpenter, do you happen to know the name of the sanitarium where Miss Muller's staying?
Garraway's. That's what Annie told me. Garraway's Rest Home out by Pasadena.
Mm-hmm. Have any of the neighbors been out to visit her?
Well, no, we haven't. Annie said the doctors there thought it'd be better if Mrs. Muller didn't have visitors.
I see. I wonder if you'd tell us where we could find a public telephone in the neighborhood.
Oh, you can use my phone, Sergeant. It's right back there in the hall.
Fine, thank you.
I'll call him, Joe.
All right.
I'll have the operator charge it to our office.
You sure you can find your way back there, Sergeant? It's right under General Pershing's picture.
Yes, ma'am. No trouble.
I was just thinking, Sergeant Friday.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you know anything about repairing sewing machines?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh. Well, Fluffy, there you are. This is Anna Johnson's cat, Sergeant. Isn't he simply gorgeous? Look at that fur.
Yes, ma'am. It's a nice
genuine
cat.
Persian. Annie brought him with her when she came to live with the Muellers.
Did Mrs. Johnson Mrs. Muller always seemed to get along fairly well together, do you? I mean, no arguments?
Oh, my, no. Anna's the easiest person in the world to get along with. All us girls in the neighborhood just adore her.
Joe.
Did you talk to sanitarium?
Yeah, I double-checked the name.
Yeah?
Mrs. Muller's not there. They never heard of her.
Ben and I left and interviewed some of the other people in the neighborhood. They all had the same high opinion of Annie Johnson as Miss Carpenter did. They all had the impression that Mrs. Muller was under doctor's care at the Garraway Rest Home in Pasadena. Annie Johnson told them so. We found out that Mrs. Muller had one other living relative besides her husband, a niece, Lorraine Muller. She lived out on Norwich Drive in Beverly Hills. 5:30 p.m., Ben and I drove back to the office and made a spot check of every private rest home and sanitarium listed in the Los Angeles area. Mrs. Muller wasn't at any of them. We called the state hospital at Norwalk, and they informed us that Joseph Muller was there, having been committed the 2nd of November the previous year. He was critically ill. We put in another call to the Muller home. Still no answer. 6:15 p.m., we drove out to Beverly Hills to the home of Mrs. Muller's niece, Lorraine. She was a tall, good-looking girl with blonde hair and a bad cough.
I don't think I can help you, Sergeant. I moved out of my aunt's house 3 months ago. I haven't seen her since.
Were you staying at the house when Annie Johnson came to live there?
I was raised in that house. Mother and Dad died when I was a baby, and Uncle Joe and Aunt Laura took care of me. They're wonderful people.
Would you mind telling us why you moved?
I don't mind. Everything was fine until Annie Johnson came. I didn't get along with her. We fought all the time.
Oh, is that so?
I don't know why. I just didn't like her. When Annie moved in, she took over the whole house.
What's the connection between your aunt and Mrs. Johnson? Any blood relationship there?
No, no. Annie was a school chum of Aunt Laura's. When they sent her to prison for killing her husband, she wrote for help.
And your aunt helped her?
She worked for 11 years at it. I don't know how much money she spent. Lawyers, you know.
Yeah.
She finally got Annie parole.
And then she took Mrs. Johnson on as a housekeeper, is that right?
Yeah. And she never did any work. She acted like she owned the house. Like my aunt and uncle owed her everything they'd done for.
When's the last time you heard from your aunt?
It was a few months ago, around Christmas time. I called her up to wish her a Merry Christmas.
You have no idea where Mrs. Muller might be now? Some friends that she could be staying with, maybe?
No. Aunt Laura only has a few friends. They all live in the neighborhood.
She's not in the habit of going off without telling anyone, is she?
No, never anything like that. I don't understand it. Something must be wrong. Annie, do you think she's done something?
Do you?
No, she couldn't have. She owes everything to Aunt Laura. Her freedom, good home, nice clothes, money. Everything my aunt could give her.
Some people are like that. If it's free, they never get too much. Before we left Lorraine Muller's house, we got the name of her aunt's lawyer. We had dinner at a lunch counter on La Cienega, and then we drove back to Wilmington to the Muller house. Lights were burning in the front windows. The fog was thick now.
Guess that's her singing.
Yeah. You want to ring the bell?
Mm-hmm. Can you see in through the curtain, Jill?
Yeah, she didn't hear it. Let's ring it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here she comes.
Yes?
Are you Mrs. Johnson?
Yes, that's right. What is it?
Police officers, our identification.
Oh. Yes, won't you come in?
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
We'll go in the parlor, shall we?
All right.
Now.
Order February and March?
Yes.
We think the signatures on those two reports are forged.
Oh, those.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I don't know what to say. I really didn't think it was that serious. I knew the reports had to be sent in.
Did you sign Mrs. Muller's name on them?
Well, yes, I did. You see, Laura Muller's at a sanitarium now, resting up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to bother her with all this business, so I signed them and put them in the mail. But forgery, I didn't think it was that serious.
Mm-hmm. Which sanitarium is Mrs. Muller staying at?
Garraway's. A very nice place. It's near Pasadena. She's been there about 2 months now.
Have you been out to visit her yet?
No, I haven't. I'm a little ashamed of myself. I've just been too busy keeping up the house here. It's lots of work.
Yes, I understand. I suppose you drove Mrs. Muller to the sanitarium.
As a matter of fact, I didn't. You see, we don't have a car, so she took a taxi cab.
Have you telephoned Mrs. Muller at the sanitarium?
Yes, just once, the day she went in. She's there for a good rest. I don't feel that anyone should bother. Not even myself.
Does she have any other relatives? Besides her husband, that is.
None at all. Poor Mr. Marr. We had to send him away, you know, to Warwick State Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Got out of hand. Just terrible. He almost murdered poor Laura once, and those were awful days. He's much better off where he is.
Yeah, it's too bad. Well, that's about all, Miss Johnson.
Oh, here. Let me show you to the door.
Thanks. You'd better contact your parole officer the first thing in the morning and clear up this matter of the reports.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good night, Miss Johnson. Thanks again.
All right. Good night.
What time you got?
8:20. Light just went on in the attic.
Yeah.
What do you think?
We better go take a look around.
What do you think we'll find?
I don't know. Maybe a reason for some of those lies she told us. 8:35 p.m. Annie Johnson left the house and crossed the street to Miss Carpenter's place. In the Muller house, in a small desk in one of the rear bedrooms on the first floor, we found a file for Mrs. Muller's business papers. In the file, we located three of her insurance policies. There was one for $5,000 and two for $3,500. Each policy had a rider attached, changing the beneficiary from Joseph Muller, the husband, to Annie Johnson.
$12,000 worth of insurance.
Yeah, let's get them back in this folder. Did you get the policy numbers?
Yeah. What's this?
Let's see. Phone bill. Light bill. Here's one.
Labor bill. $1 an hour paid to Tom McCray, charged to Annie Johnson.
Uh-huh. Let's go.
Yeah, I want to get this address here. Tom McCray, East Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Huh. There's her cat.
Yeah, let's go see what we can find upstairs, huh?
It's a pretty cat.
We went upstairs to the second floor of the house and searched the rooms. We went up another flight of stairs to the attic. For a full half hour, we searched through dozens of corrugated cartons crammed with souvenirs and picture postcards.
Joe, come here.
Yeah.
Take a look.
Wrapped in newspaper.
32-20 Colt.
Three empty cartridges.
Mm-hmm. We got a gun and we got a suspect.
Those insurance policies could be the motive.
Let's pray to God there's no victim.
Listening to Dragnet for the step-by-step solution to an actual police case. Here, step-by-step, are the reasons why Fatima has more than doubled its smokers from coast to coast.
Step one, the name Fatima has always stood for the best in cigarette quality.
Step two,
long cigarette smokers discover Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma.
Step three,
long cigarette smokers find Fatima extra mild. Fatima is the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos, superbly blended to make Fatima extra mild.
And that's why more and more smokers every day agree
it's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
Yes, the name Fatima on that golden yellow package is your insurance of an extra mild smoke.
So enjoy king-size Fatima, the best of all long cigarettes.
p.m. An immediate stakeout was placed on the Muller residence in case Annie Johnson made an attempt to leave during the night. Ben and I took the gun that we'd found to the crime lab for analysis. The next morning, we checked with the Muller's family attorney. He had no idea as to the whereabouts of Mrs. Muller, but he told us that about 3 months ago, she'd ordered him to draw up a new will for her. Under the new provisions, Annie Johnson was to be the sole heir of the Muller house and property, plus an additional $1,500 in bonds. Friday, March 10th, 11 a.m. While Ben checked with the insurance company, I met with Captain Elliott of Homicide.
You got everything but a victim, huh? Where are you looking?
We'd like to shake down the Muller house again before we look anyplace else. Didn't have a chance to give it a thorough going over last night.
You're sold on the idea it's a Johnson woman?
Looks like it.
Sure, it couldn't be a freak disappearance.
No, sir, not in my book. Annie Johnson's got some big reasons for lying to us. I'd like to find him.
How do you figure on doing that?
Well, if we could pull her in and question her, just to get her away from the Mueller place, I'd like to take a detail of men out there and shake the house from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Just checked with the insurance companies that issued Mrs. Mueller's policies.
Yeah.
And we got it right. Annie Johnson gets the dough if Mrs. Mueller dies.
Oh.
Something else. The changes in the policies were made during the last 2 months at her home. It doesn't jive.
Why not?
Well, Annie Johnson told us that Mrs. Mueller's been in the sanitarium for more than 2 months.
Here's a gapper, Joe.
What's that?
Gil and Sinus went out to State Hospital at Norwalk to talk to Mr. Mueller.
Yeah?
Joseph Mueller died at 8 o'clock last night. Death from natural causes.
What's that prove?
Wait a minute. When Joseph Mueller was committed to the institution, Annie Johnson figured prominently in that commitment. She had a lot to do with sending him away.
She didn't take any chances, did she?
Annie Johnson is left with the house, the bonds, and the insurance money. She had all the answers.
Yeah, all but the right one.
While Captain Elliott called in Annie Johnson and questioned her, Ben and I, together with a detail of men from Homicide and Lieutenant Lee Jones from the crime lab, drove out to Wilmington and started a thorough search of the Mueller house. We took it floor by floor, starting with the attic. By 4 o'clock that afternoon, we had searched the attic and the second floor completely without finding any additional physical evidence. 5:30 p.m., still nothing. The fog was coming in thick now. Captain Elliott called and said the Johnson woman was on her way home. The search went on.
Anyone check the cellar yet?
Let's give it a look, huh?
Joe, come on down. Lee's with me. We're checking some stains.
What do you got, Lee?
Picked up this line of stains here, Joe. They run down from the top of the stairs. Pretty faint.
Let me see. Mm-hmm.
Try a few drops of benzidine, see what happens.
Okay. Let's have a look around, Gil, see what we can find.
There's no lights down here. You'll have to use your flash.
I got one.
Not much of anything, is it?
I guess they use the attic for their storage place.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Put the light over this way, will you, Gil? No, no, in the corner. That's it.
See something?
I don't know. Yeah, have a look here.
New patch of cement. Looks pretty new alongside the rest.
Yeah.
There's a sledge and a couple of shovels back in the garage.
Get them, will you?
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah?
Stains turned blue. Blood.
Lee Jones took some sample scrapings and went back to the crime lab to give them a precipitant test to determine if the stains were made by human or animal blood. We broke away the patch of new cement work in the cellar and we began digging. 6:30 p.m. Annie Johnson came home. We met her in the living room.
Sergeant, I wonder if you'd mind explaining this intrusion.
No, not at all. Will you sit down?
I believe I'm the one to offer hospitality here. It's my house.
Is it, Miss Johnson?
Well, it's in my charge. It's my responsibility.
Yes, ma'am, it is. We'd just like to clear up a few things, that's all.
I think the police department's taken up enough of my time. I spent half the day at the city hall answering silly questions. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have an appointment at the beauty shop at 7 o'clock.
Maybe you better cancel it.
I don't see any reason why I should. What is that noise? Coming from the cellar. Someone's down there.
We're police officers, Miss Johnson. We're searching the house.
Searching this house? With whose permission?
Maybe they didn't make it clear to you downtown. We've got a good reason to believe that a crime's been committed.
Why?
Mrs. Mueller. She's missing.
I told your Captain Elliott this afternoon. Laura could have left the sanitarium. She might have gone east to visit some friends in Cincinnati, I think. She has some friends in Cincinnati.
How could Mrs. Mueller leave the sanitarium? She was never there.
Maybe she didn't stay at Garraway's. Could have been another rest home.
But you said you phoned her at Garraway's. You said you talked to her there.
Those men downstairs, they're going to dig up the whole house?
That's right.
This bill, Mrs. Johnson, would you mind telling us what it was for?
There was a section of the cellar floor. It had never been cemented. I decided to have it done while Laura was away.
The men are digging it up, Miss Johnson.
Well, why are they digging it up? What right have they?
Investigation. We'll see that the cement work is redone when we're finished.
This is impossible. I forbid it. This house is my responsibility.
No need to worry. Everything will be left exactly the way it was. We'll leave the house just as soon as the men are finished.
Oh. Well, then perhaps I can keep my appointment with the hairdresser. I won't be long. Should be back around 9.
I'm sorry. I think you better stay.
But I've told you everything I know.
Did you kill Laura Mueller?
Did I kill... I can't take any more of this. Why would I want to kill Laura? She's done everything for me. She's given me a new life.
Did you kill her?
Why, no, of course I didn't kill her.
Well, then there's no need to be upset.
Oh, my nerves. I got to have something. Glass of sherry. Yes. Diggy, how long is it going to take them?
That all depends, ma'am.
There's no reason for this. You don't know that anything's happened to Laura.
That's right.
Laura's the best friend I have in the world. 11 years, that's how long she fought to make them let me out of prison. She's the only one who believed in me.
Yes, ma'am.
She is. She's given me everything. She wants me to have everything. Everything I want. I wouldn't have a reason for killing her. What, my clothes, my home here, money. They're all Laura. She's given them to me. Would you like a glass of sherry, Sergeant Friday?
No. No, thanks.
You know, Laura was much older than I, Sergeant. She could have taken her own life. She didn't have much to live for. Old and sick. But I got everything to live for. Laura used to tell me that. So she gave me everything. Laura was much older than I. Would you care for a glass of sherry, Sergeant Romero?
No, thank you.
This whole thing's so silly. Laura's away on a trip. She's much older than I am, you know. I'm 38. You wouldn't take me for a woman 38 years old, would you, Sergeant?
No, ma'am.
I know I'm not really young anymore, but I'm still attractive, don't you think? A lot of men prefer mature women. Women with experience, background. I'd know how to take care of a man.
Joe? Yeah.
Joe, come here, my way.
Yeah?
We found her.
She wanted to die.
Call the coroner, Gil.
Yep. Let's go, Miss Johnson.
Laura wouldn't want this. She knows I didn't mean it. She's the only one who knows what I went through. Years in prison. Laura understood me. She gave me everything, everything.
Yes, she did.
Ask anybody. They all know how Laura felt about me. Ask anybody.
We can't ask her.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On July 14th, trial was held in Superior Court, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial.
It's amazing how many long cigarette smokers are changing to Fatima. Here is the actual report.
From coast to coast, king-size Fatima has more than doubled its smokers.
Yes, more and more smokers every day are discovering that Fatima is the best of all long cigarettes.
Long cigarette smokers find Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma.
Long cigarette smokers find that Fatima is extra mild because it's the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos, superbly blended to make it extra mild.
So enjoy extra mild Fatima. Best of all long cigarettes.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
Annie Marie Johnson was tried and convicted of murder in the first degree. She was executed in the lethal gas chamber at the state penitentiary, San Quentin, California. You have just heard Dragnet, authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet comes from the Office of Chief of Police, W.A. Wharton, Los Angeles Police Department.
Dragnet wishes to thank the editors of Radio Television Life magazine. They have judged Dragnet the outstanding new program of the past radio season.
Fatima Cigarettes, the best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet from Los Angeles.
Tomorrow, hear the Ronald Coleman's charming series, The Halls of Ivy, on NBC.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
For your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to robbery detail. Four young hoodlums wanted for a series of robberies are headed for your city. They're armed, reckless, cold-blooded. Your job, get them.
If you want a long cigarette, smoke the best of all long cigarettes. Smoke king-size Fatima. Fatima is the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos, superbly blended to make Fatima extra mild. And that's why Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette. That's why Fatima has more than doubled its smokers coast to coast. So, enjoy Fatima, the best of all long cigarettes.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Friday, December 10th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Thad Brown, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. It was 7:55 a.m. when I got to room 27A, robbery detail. Morning.
Hi, Joe.
Morning.
Hi, Joe. Cold out, isn't it?
Frank, what are you doing here this early? Can't you sleep?
I'm waiting for something. Special delivery letter from my brother.
Went up in Frisco with the police department?
Yeah. Only up there, they don't like it when you call it Frisco.
Yeah.
He's in robbery detail. Called him last night. All three kids had their tonsils out the same day. Thought it'd be nice to call, see how they were.
All three at once?
Yeah.
Tonsils are nothing these days.
How'd they make out?
Good. Home already.
What's the letter got to do with it?
Well, my brother told me he was sending down some dope on four pretty rough characters. Thinks they're headed our way. Sending mugshots, too.
Mm-hmm. You and your brother running a detective agency on the side?
It's a little irregular. The official correspondence will come a little later.
What do you know about the guys?
Almost killed a man. I didn't get any details. It's all in the letter. Mm-hmm. Ought to be here any minute. Mailed it at noon yesterday.
How come you moved down here with your family, Frank? Don't you like it up north?
Well, I like L.A. better. More elbow room. Here you live in a house and lot, not just an apartment.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Robbery, Friday.
This is Wilson. Tony Shop is there, Joe?
Yeah, I think so. Hold it, will you? Tony here?
Huh?
Oh, I didn't see you behind that paper.
For me?
Yeah, he's here.
Well, if he's not busy, ask him to come over to auto theft. Especially a couple of Mexican girls. Can't speak English.
Well, I guess we can spare him for a while. I'll tell him.
What's up?
Well, that's Wilson in auto detail. He'd like you to go over and act as interpreter for a couple of Mexican girls.
Are they pretty? You're not going down there to marry him.
I'll bet you wow him at parties.
Yes. Nothing much doing. Slow day. They don't come often enough for me.
If they did, we'd be out of a job. It was one of those rare slow days. I killed a couple of hours going over the daily reports, cleaned out the top drawer of my desk, sharpened a few pencils. At 10:15 a.m., the special delivery letter came for Frank. He slit the top open with his pocket knife and shook out four mugshots.
Here it is. Following four men wanted for robberies, auto thefts, and safe burglaries in San Francisco Bay Area.
Cliff Small, 19. George Shum, 20. Both escaped from Preston. Julius Carver, 18. Fred Malik, 20. Both Army deserters.
Well, that checks out with that APB from SF last week.
What do the records look like?
Small shot an Army captain during an argument at a bar. On two capers, these men shot it out with us and escaped. Information shows all four left for Los Angeles several days ago. Driving stolen car, blue Chevrolet, probably using cold plates.
Mm-hmm. Let me see those mug shots.
Mm, here.
Hmm. Well, now we know who we're looking for. Brother, tell us where.
Just a couple of nice girls that got mixed up with the wrong guys.
Hey, take a look at these pictures, will you, Tony?
Oh, the mugs from San Francisco.
Yeah. Says they're in a stolen car, cold plates.
That's how these girls were picked up, in a hot car.
Huh?
They went for a ride with a couple of guys they met at a movie. When their car ran out of gas, the boys dug, the girls got picked up.
Did they have a lead on the guy?
No, not a thing.
The young guys?
Around 20. You think these might be the ones from Frisco?
Well, let's talk to the girls. Come on. Frank, you want to cover the office?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do they speak English at all?
Not enough to make sense. That's Dolores, and this one is Marie.
When
she... Señoritas, estos señores son empleados del robbery detail. Desean hacer a ustedes algunas preguntas.
Nosotras no hicimos nada.
Nada.
She says they didn't do anything.
I suppose they told you all they know already, huh?
They're not much help. They say they don't know anything about the fellows they were with.
Show them these. Ask them if they've ever seen them before.
Yeah. ¿Conocen ustedes a estos individuos?
Sí. Estos son los muchachos. Sí. Sí.
These are the guys that took them out last night?
Ask them.
¿Quieren decir que estos dos son los que las llevaron anoche?
Sí. Ellos son.
Carver and Malik, the Army deserters. Ask them to describe them, will you?
¿Cómo eran los muchachos?
Ya le dijimos. Estuvimos en el carro todo el tiempo. Estaba oscuro. Pero parecían muy guapos y hablaban bien.
She says they sat in the car all the time it was dark, but they looked very handsome and they talked nice.
Where did the fellas pick them up?
They told me in front of the Jubilee Theater, 2nd and Broadway.
Yeah, and then what?
And the girls couldn't understand English, but they understood when the boys motioned them to hop in.
Yeah.
¿Han aceptado ustedes paseos con extraños antes?
Por supuesto que no. María creo... haberlos visto en la iglesia el domingo.
She says no. Marie thought she recognized him from church Sunday.
Pero estaba equivocada.
But she was mistaken.
Must have been some date. The boys couldn't talk Spanish and the girls couldn't talk English.
Where'd they go on this ride, Tony?
They don't know the streets. They just know they got to the beach and then they turned around and were about halfway back when the car ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm. Ask them again. See if you can get Marie here to talk.
Hey, Maria.
Sí.
¿Qué camino tomaron para ir a la playa?
Yo no sé.
Ay, María. Primero, paramos cerca de un hotelito. Esperamos mientras los muchachos llevaron a un perito y lo dejaron en su cuarto.
She doesn't know, but she remembers they stopped near a little hotel. The girls waited while the boys took a little puppy out of their car and put it in their room.
A puppy?
Well, if they don't know where the hotel was, maybe they can tell us what it was near.
Mm. ¿Qué edificios había cerca del hotel?
En la esquina había una estación de gasolina.
And she says there was a gas station on the corner.
What else?
¿Qué más?
Del otro lado de los rieles había dos o tres garajes.
¿Dos o tres?
Creo que sí, dos o tres.
Mm. She says across the car tracks there were two or three big garages.
Yeah.
Hmm. Could be in the Westlake District. Mm-hmm. Lots of garages and second-rate hotels around there.
Or East 1st Street?
Maybe Grand Avenue and Pico.
Pico! Pico! Ahora me acuerdo. Esta calle era Pico!
We took the girls with us and drove out to Grand and Pico, and then up and down Pico slow until the girls pointed out a hotel just south of Flower. They weren't sure. Ben and I got out. We walked up to the hotel desk. The clerk was just starting to vacuum.
We're looking for Julius Carver and Fred Malik. Are they staying here?
What's the names? I can't hear you over the vacuum.
Julius Carver and Fred Malik?
Nope, not here.
Police officers, you take a look at these pictures?
Well, could have been two of the boys who checked out this morning, but they didn't look as tough as this.
How many were there?
Four.
Here are two more pictures. You have a look, please?
Could be. About the right age.
How long did they stay?
Just 2 nights.
Did they have a pup with them?
What?
I said they have a pup with them.
Puppy dog? Yes, they did. Yes, sir. A little collie pup.
Did they pay up?
No, they skipped out, owing me 2 days.
Can we see how they registered, please?
Shut off this dang vacuum. Person can't hardly hear himself think over that racket. Now, you want to see the register. We use cards here.
All right, sir.
Let me see. Now, here they are. Bob Reynolds, Jack Sharp, Jim Smith, and William Grant, Las Vegas, Nevada.
I must have picked those names out of a hat.
They say where they were going?
Nope, no forwarding address.
Do they write these cards out themselves?
You bet they did. That's the law.
You mind if we borrow them for a while? We'll have them photostated and returned to you.
We're supposed to keep them, you know.
You'll get them back.
I like to do everything legal. Are those boys in some kind of trouble?
They leave anything in their room?
They did. It's all in the vacuum.
If they happen to come back, give us a ring, will you? Here's our card.
Robbery detail. Who'd they rob?
They took you for 2 days' rent. It was 2 p.m. when Tony Chavez picked us up. He had Frank O'Donnell with him. We stopped at a dairy lunch, and I called the office, and we split up into two teams. While Tony and Frank checked parking lots in the neighborhood for stolen cars, Ben and I ran down the other hotels. In the next 3 hours, we talked to a dozen desk clerks and rooming house managers. Always the same answer, no. 5:30 p.m., we tried the Achilles Hotel on Grand Avenue. We walked into an overheated lobby crowded with modern furniture. There were a couple of canary cages in front of the faded wall tapestries. The desk clerk was a woman in her early 40s.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Police officer.
Police officer. Walter! Walter, will you see what these policemen want?
Well, just take a minute. We'd like to know if you recognize these pictures here.
No.
This one?
No. No, we only take in honest, hard-working men.
Sure.
I don't like anybody lazing around the rooms all day. It keeps me from cleaning up.
Any of your roomers got a collie pup?
A dog? I'd die before I'd allow a dog in this house.
Well, if these fellows with a dog try to rent a room, would you please phone us? Here's the number.
Millie. Now, get on back in there, honey, where it's nice and warm. Go on, Millie. Go on, go on. Millie's on the nest now.
Yes, ma'am. We'd appreciate you watching for these men.
For your own protection, too.
No, I'll let you know.
Thank you, ma'am. Let's go
back. Oh, say, before you go, would you gentlemen do me a favor, seeing as how you're policemen?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Marinelli up in room 14 is a week behind in his rent. Would you do me a favor and go up and talk to him?
I'm sorry, lady. We can't handle that. That's a civil matter. I'd advise you to go to room 260 down at the city hall. See the city attorney. They'll help you.
Walter, what did I tell you? They won't do it.
That's the way it went. It was dark out now and getting cold again. We walked back to Pico and Flower to pick up Frank and Tony. Tony was there waiting for us.
Hi, come on up to the next corner. Frank's up there. We've got a hot car staked out.
Yeah?
Just half a block from the hotel where the guys checked out. You had any luck?
No.
Did you find anything in the car?
The key's still in it, nothing else.
Well, they could have stolen it last night after they left the girls, huh?
I called in and checked. It was taken in front of 1192 Doheny Drive between 2 and 4 this morning. We got out of code for it.
Mm-hmm. That's about 6 blocks from where they ditched the car with the girls in it.
Yeah, we're out of gas. It's all downhill. It would have been the natural way for them to go.
Could be the right car. Better keep the stake out.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Frank.
Hi. You do any good?
No.
Frank, you and Tony want to go eat, and Ben and I will cover the car. When you get back, we'll go for chow.
Good deal.
Swell.
So long. Well, let's sit in the car, huh?
Yeah, all right.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Get the radio on.
Want a cigarette?
No. What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe it's the same guys, maybe not.
Same neighborhood. A couple of things might tie in. I can't be sure.
We're really making headway. About all we know is they're in town.
Yeah, and it's a good-sized town.
Right now, it's the biggest in the world. 7 p.m. We knew the four gunmen were in town. We knew they'd been seen. We figured there was no reason for them to skip town until they pulled a job or heard that we were looking for them. Time was in their favor. Time to rob, time to kill, time to get away. The check on the hotels continued. We left Frank O'Donnell and Tony Chavez on the stakeout, and Ben and I picked up the hotel routine. One place after another. 8:30 p.m. We walked down a long, narrow lobby to a little bald-headed man at the desk. He was wearing glasses and reading a magazine called Astrology. When we walked in, he tried to hide the bottle.
Police officer.
Oh,
Would you take a look at these pictures, please?
What for?
See if you can identify them.
No. No, they don't look familiar to me.
They may be carrying a collie pup.
Collie pup?
Hmm.
Let me see those pictures again.
All right. They look familiar now?
They had a pup with them, all right. Yes, I think so. I study faces. Yes, the same.
Are they here?
I don't know.
You mean they're out for the evening?
I don't know.
Are they registered here?
Yes, they are.
What room?
Are they expecting you?
Now listen, this is important. Just answer the questions.
What did they do?
What's their room number?
Second floor, room 22.
Do you have the key?
Just a sec. Here.
Thank you. Come on, Ben. Cover me, huh?
Yeah.
22. Give me the key. Watch it. Well, maybe we're home.
Clothes, shoes, all our stuff's here.
They'll be back.
You are listening to Dragnet for the step-by-step solution to an actual police case. Here, step by step, are the reasons why Fatima has more than doubled its smokers from coast to coast.
Step one. The name Fatima has always stood for the best in cigarette quality.
Step two.
Long cigarette smokers discover Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma.
Step three.
Long cigarette smokers find Fatima extra mild. Fatima is the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos, superbly blended to make Fatima extra mild.
And that's why more and more smokers every day agree...
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
Yes, the name Fatima on that golden yellow package is your insurance of an extra mild smoke.
So enjoy king-size Fatima, the best of all long cigarettes.
In the files of the Los Angeles Police Department, there are countless case histories that never got space in the daily newspapers. The case of Cliff Small, George Shum, Julius Carver, and Fred Malick was one of these. Four young hoodlums wanted for a series of robberies and petty burglaries. These men were armed, and they'd shown that they wouldn't hesitate to shoot. By comparison with the sensational crime headline, the news value of this story rated an inch of type on the fourth page of the second section. Yet the line separating these four young thieves from banner headlines and back page space is much thinner than the average citizen realizes. The danger in a criminal case isn't always determined by the space allotted to it in the newspapers. Many a peace officer's name has appeared in the obituary column of the same newspaper that allotted one inch of back page space to the crime story that was considered unimportant. I phoned the office and asked for two men to cover the stolen car. As soon as the replacements arrived, Frank O'Donnell and Tony Chavez left the stakeout on the stolen car and joined us at the hotel. It was 8:55 p.m.
Well, when are they due back? Any idea?
No, sir. I told these other officers. I did tell you, didn't I?
Yeah, you said they were out for the evening.
That's it. I knew I told you something. Was it you two? Or was it you two?
It was this fella and I.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember things I say so good, but I know faces, things.
Are you the manager here?
Oh, no. This place belongs to Claude.
Claude who?
Tinney.
Then you're in charge now.
Only when Claude's not around. This is one of his places.
Where are we going to stake out, Joe? Not enough room to turn around this lobby.
That's what I've been telling Claude. Claude Tinney. This is one of his places.
Yeah, maybe you better leave that bottle alone till we get this straightened out, huh?
Oh, no. I don't hit it heavy anymore. Just a little nip now and again. Drafty in here.
Any idea where we can wait for these fellas and keep an eye on the lobby?
No, not enough room in this lobby to turn around in. I've said that to Claude.
Yeah, we know.
Hey, clerk. Where does this door lead to?
No, don't go in there.
There's a light in here.
I save old bottles. Ragman gives me a penny each for them.
Is that a storage room?
What's that?
That room over there.
Oh, that's the linen room. We keep all the linen there.
That's about the only place there is, Joe. Unless we want to wait out in the car.
All right, we'll wait in there.
Now, there's a couple of chairs in there.
I'll send the boys back when they come in.
Be better if you tell them nothing.
How are they going to know you're here?
We'll tell them. You just don't say anything.
All right, sir. Now then, if I can just have your names, I'll see that the boys get the message.
Now look, mister. You just sit there and read your magazine. Don't say anything. You got that?
Okay. That's the way you want it.
Come on, let's go. What's that smell in here?
Bleach, I think.
Strong.
What time is it?
Can't see.
Frank, you got a luminous watch.
Mm-hmm. 9:28.
Evening, Mac.
Good evening, Mr. Sweeney.
Give me an 8 o'clock call.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right.
That smell's giving me a headache. Air's bad in here.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can get you, gentlemen?
No, you just stay at the desk, will you, please?
Say, Claude Tinney's his name. He's the manager. Remember you asked me about that?
Yeah, we know.
What do you want him for?
Look, you're going to have to stay away from this door. We don't want him to know we're here.
Okay, that's the way you want it.
I could use a cigarette.
Yeah.
All we need in here now, smoke.
What time is it, Frank?
Oh.
Never mind. That's it. There's two of them. Ben, you come with me. Frank, Tony, stay here.
Right.
All right. We're checking out tomorrow.
It's Carver and Malik. Let's go, Ben.
Yeah, come on.
All right, get your hands up.
Hey, what's going on?
Stand still.
Okay. What's the beef?
Frisk them.
Mm-hmm. There's a .380 automatic on Carver. .38 caliber revolver in this hip pocket. Another .38 on Malik.
I'll hold it.
That's it. Put out your hand. Let me have your cuff, Joe.
Here you go. Where are your pals?
What pals?
Cliff Small and George Shum. We know you're running with them.
If you know that, you know where they are.
How old are you?
18.
What's your name?
Fred Malik. I'm 20.
Tony.
Yeah?
You and Frank want to take them downtown?
Right. We'll see you down there. Let's go, Frank.
Say, you got them, huh?
Got two of them. We're going to wait for the other two now. You just play it straight and stay away from that linen room.
How long are you going to be in there? Chambermaid starts making up the beds around 7 a.m. She'll have to be getting out that linen in there.
It's only 10:30. Lots of time.
We change the sheets three times a week in this hotel.
Not a worry in the world.
Let's get back in there.
That smell is in here. Lysol.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that pup.
That'll be the tip-off.
I'll go get him.
All right, come on, little fella. Here we go. Come on, boy.
He's hungry, Joe.
Yeah. Look, I'll put him down on the floor. Don't step on him.
Yeah, what do you want? Are you going to wait for the other two boys?
Yeah, will you get away from the door?
Say, I want to help you all I can.
Yeah.
That fuzzy little pup of theirs, he's running all around the lobby.
Yeah, we've got him in here.
Yeah, you better go out there and get him. He's barking. It'll tip him off.
Yeah, all right. Now go on back to the desk.
All right, then. You stay in here. I'll see if I can catch him.
He comes around here again, he'll have to wait in here.
Let me see your watch.
No.
Must be around 11.
Yeah, it must be.
Oh, it's that clerk again. Yeah.
Say, listen. I've been all over the lobby. You fellas are in the clear.
What do you mean?
That dog of theirs. He's gone. You're in the clear.
Look, he's in here with us. Now, will you stay away from here, please?
Yeah, it's okay. The dog's gone.
Hey, Pop, give me the key for room 22.
Yes, sir.
That's their room. Come on.
Yeah. Get your hands up. Watch him, Joe.
Wait a minute, you.
You, hold it.
Get your hands
Come
off
on,
me.
Get
All
your
right.
hands up.
Stop. You didn't have to slap me.
You didn't have to pull that gun. All right, now over here.
Stand still. 38 revolver on this one. Here it is, 45 Colt. What's your names?
I'm Cliff Small. He's George Shum.
How old are you?
19. Cops?
We weren't. You'd be in a lot more trouble than you are.
That's all of them.
Yeah. Now let's feed that pup. 12:15 a.m. We took the prisoners down to the city hall to the interrogation room. Tony Chavez and Frank O'Donnell were there with the other two, Carver and Malik. While Ben helped question the suspects and made out the necessary reports, I went across the street to the Federal Cafe. I picked up 2 10-cent bottles of milk and a few slices of bread.
Look at him go. He was hungry.
Yeah. How'd you come out?
Well, I got it all here. Let's see. 4 stolen cars, 8 known robberies in San Francisco that they copped out to. 3 jobs in Portland, they admitted. You remember that Bakersfield liquor store holdup about 4 weeks ago?
A Watson job? They pull that?
Yeah, probably a lot more. They haven't told us all of it yet.
Got out an APB. We'll probably get a lot more wants on them.
Well, that's it. None of them are even old enough to vote yet. But they've committed practically every crime in the book.
Just one thing more left to work out. What do we do with the pup?
How about the SPCA? They'll find a home for him.
No, not this little guy.
Why don't you take him, Tony? You got kids.
You got a deal.
Aquí. Aquí, perito. Yes, tu madre era cole, pero de hoy en adelante eres perro policía.
Translation. Your mother was a cole, but from now on you're a police dog.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent. On February 9th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 88, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial.
It's amazing how many long cigarette smokers are changing to Fatima. Here is the actual report.
From coast to coast, king-size Fatima has more than doubled its smokers.
Yes, more and more smokers every day are discovering that Fatima is the best of all long cigarettes.
Long cigarette smokers find Fatima has a much different, much better flavor and aroma.
Long cigarette smokers find that Fatima is extra mild because it's the long cigarette which contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos superbly blended to make it extra mild.
So enjoy extra mild Fatima. Best of all long cigarettes.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
It's wise to smoke extra mild Fatima.
Clifford Small, George Shum, Julius Carver, and Fred Malik were released to San Francisco authorities where they were tried and convicted on 8 counts of robbery in the first degree. A hold was placed on them by the state of Oregon. They are now serving their terms in the state penitentiary. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet comes from the Office of Chief of Police, W.A. Wharton, Los Angeles Police Department.
Fatima Cigarettes, the best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet from Los Angeles.
Tomorrow, hear the Ronald Coleman's charming series, The Halls of Ivy, on NBC.
You've been listening to Dragnet at 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. Give us a review if you have a chance, or mention it Spotify. And all we ask you is share our shows with friends. Take care, and we'll be back soon.